Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. You're WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you for our live NHL Draft Lottery coverage. And joining me here on the Wester Hotline, we're going to be joined by Steve Corniano. So you can find him on Twitter at The Draft Analyst. He's also a contributor at TheDraftAnalyst.com and also for the Sporting News, covering the NHL and doing some draft stuff there. Steve, it's been a while since we've last talked. I appreciate you coming on this evening and taking some time to talk some hockey with us.
Yeah, anytime, Brayton. Listen, it's a big night for the Sabres right now. I wouldn't say it's a make-or-break night, but they could maybe use a little bit of good luck considering what's happened the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this time here in Buffalo has been kind of a roller coaster ride with emotions just of the firing of Botterill, and then Adams comes in and he's forced to fire most of the people on the staff. And today they hired their director of scouting and made Jason Nightingale, the director of analytics, their assistant director of scouting. So certainly a wild roller coaster here in Buffalo. But obviously, Steve, the Sabres could luck out a little bit winning the number one overall pick. I know the last time that you and me did this on the draft lottery night was 2018. They had the best odds to win the lottery. They won. They got Rasmus Dahlin. Now tonight it's Alexi Lafreniere that is the number one consensus pick in this draft. I just want to get your thoughts because I see Lafreniere as kind of like a guy who is definitely a franchise player, can be the face of your franchise, but he's almost, to me, he almost seems like he's on the fringe of potentially becoming that type of generational player. I want to get your thoughts on Lafreniere and where you kind of see his outlook for the NHL moving forward.
Well, first you have to start off with the fact that there are a lot of similarities between Lafreniere's pre-draft resume and Sidney Crosby's pre-draft resume, not only because they both played for Rimouski in the Quebec League, but they're the only two players that won the CHL Player of the Year award twice before getting drafted. So that's one thing. There's a lot of big-time players that have come out of the CHL that didn't have that or don't have that distinction. In addition, he was the leading scorer at the World Junior Championships. He was the top scorer in the MVP at the Ivan Hlinka tournament in his draft minus two season. So the superlatives are there. And then, of course, when you watch him play, where he's a physical, talented, finesse winger, basically. He's not a center. He's a winger. He's a very rare breed, especially in this day and age where you have this menacing type of a player. But he's also got the hockey IQ. He's got the smarts. He's got the compete level, which is what so many coaches and really fan bases as well. You want to see your players play hard and not kind of rely on just their God-given talents. He really goes out there every shift and tries to become the best player, and that's kind of like what Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin and Connor McDavid are. So I won't go as far as to call him a Crosby-type player just yet, because Crosby was just ridiculous in his 2 years at Rimouski in terms of point production, almost like I'm on a Mario Lemieux kind of a level.
Right.
Whereas what Lafreniere did, though, still very impressive. And, of course, going to the World Juniors in your draft, you're in dominating it and being the MVP. That's kind of a big deal when the entire hockey world is watching.
Steve Corniano's at the Draft Analyst on Twitter, joining us here on the Wester Hotline talking about the 2020 NHL Draft. So obviously, it's kind of a toss-up after Lafreniere. Obviously, Lafreniere consensus number one. You have him number one on your rankings list, your final draft rankings list. A lot of others have him on their number one. Number two is an interesting one because Quentin Byfield was a guy who was thought to contend for Lafreniere at one point, maybe at the start of the season, to take over at one number one. But now it seemed like that he's going to be the number two guy, but also Tim Stützle is there competing with him for that number two slot. If you had to take one over the other, or, you know, just comparing those two or contrasting those two, what stands out about both Byfield and Stützle and what makes them special?
Well, I have Byfield at number two and Stützle number three, and it's very close, like you said. It's the first time that we're actually having a discussion for number two in quite some time. If you go back to 2015, we knew it was going to be Jack Eichel. In 2016, we knew it was going to be Patrick Laine. And even with Dodger, especially the COVID 2018 and so on and so forth. So this is the first time we're actually having this discussion where the number one is solidified. Now we're talking about number two. Stützle is basically an explosive, dynamic, fun kid to watch. He can play center or wing. For all intents and purposes, he dominated the German Elite League as a teenager, playing in a top six role for a very good team in Adler Mannheim, whereas Byfield is basically a power center. He's almost 6'5", and he's an August birthday, so he's not even done growing yet, probably. You're looking at his max, he'll be about 6'5", 225, but he could skate. He's got excellent vision. He's a playmaker, and he carried a very thin Sudbury team this year. He didn't really dominate the World Juniors the way you kind of the way Lafreniere did. But then again, Canada doesn't really invite the really young 17-year-olds to that tournament. So the fact that he even made it should go in his favor. So if we're going to talk about pure upside, to me, you need that dominant big center. You need like a Malkin type. And that's exactly what Byfield is. Maybe not as demonstrative, maybe not as physical as you'd like him to be, but he's definitely a tough player. Whereas Stützle, he's the guy you pay to go see. I mean, he's just a lot of fun to watch. He's explosive and open ice. He makes those around him better, just like Byfield. But you really can't go wrong with either one. I mean, it's just really versus you have the European import who's a little bit slighter versus the big power, typical Canadian center. So I got to give the edge to Byfield. On top of the fact that he's also a two-way center. He kills penalties. He's really good in the face-off circle. So slightest of edges to Byfield.
So obviously with those two, I kind of talked about it a little bit here where, you know, Byfield I think needs another year to kind of continue to grow his game and to kind of continue to build into that type of two-way centerman that, you know, was kind of expected him. I know some people have compared him to Evgeny Malkin. I'm not personally a guy who likes to make those type of comparisons, like NHL comparisons to a prospect. But looking at Stützle is certainly interesting because he played so well in Germany last year. He's still a little undersized. He's continuing to grow a little bit, but he was dynamic in that way, playing at a top level in Germany. Do you think either of those guys could be NHL ready, and whether it's contributing or playing more of a developmental role? Just what are your thoughts there?
If you asked me last year, I'd say both would be, but after seeing Jack Hughes and Capo Caco, who we all thought that they were going to be NHL ready and called the trophy favorites, but they both had a lot of ups and downs in their rookie seasons. I saw some analytics deep dive into Caco and said he was the worst forward in the NHL. Obviously, he's only 18 years old. But I think that it also depends on which teams do the drafting. If you look at all those teams in the lotteries, maybe outside of the Sabres and the Ducks, they're all just pouring out the seams with prospects, and they're more than willing to play these kids. So maybe not as much pressure necessarily to bring them up right away. But I think, listen, physical maturity isn't that big of a deal anymore like it used to be. So even with Stützle's about 5'11", 6', 1.75, I don't think it'll be a problem with him. Plus, you know, the German league's pretty physical. Not as physical, obviously, as one of the North American leagues, but it, you know, they hit, and he did a lot of good work in the corners there. So obviously, it'll be dependent upon the teams that do the drafting. If I would make that decision, though, I'd say that both would be ready, but definitely want to shelter them in the beginning. But I agree with what you said about Byfield. He may need another year in junior. He was pretty good this year, about top 10 in scoring, or at least points per game. But you want to see him have a Lafreniere type of a dynamic season where He's the unquestionable top player in the junior circuit.
Steve Corianos, NHL draft analyst, at the draft analyst on Twitter, joins us here on the Western Hotline. So we got the top three out of the way. You know, those are the top three prizes that a lot of those teams that are hoping to win a draft pick in the top three of the draft lottery tonight, those are your guys you're focusing on. Who is next on this list? I mean, because, you know, you got your number one in Lafreniere, no doubt. You got your 2-3. They're kind of maybe in their own category. But who's right after the top three guys? Who is, I know you have Cole Perfetti number four. You got Marco Rossi number five. But like, who do you see kind of coming off the board or, you know, maybe a little earlier in that earlier range there? And just give your thoughts on some of those guys that are available.
Well, really, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Once you get past Byfield and Stützle, you really can't go wrong in any direction. It's just a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of what you value more. The reason why I have Rossi and Perfetti there is their hockey IQ is just off the chart. The thing is, though, is that the players I have thereafter, Rodion Amirov, Lucas Raymond, Alexander Holtz, these are wingers with brilliant hockey IQs, but they could also score. Then you have the two defensemen, Jake Sanderson and Jamie Drysdale, one a lefty being Sanderson, the other being a righty in Drysdale, both very gifted, high hockey IQs. And then you even throw the goalie into the mix, Yaroslav Askarov, who's one of the top goaltending prospects we've seen in the last 20-something years. So it really can't go wrong with this group. You're going to come away with a home run, at least in terms of draft resumes, what they've done and what their upside projects them to be. You even have a big two-way center, in Anton Lundell from Finland, who some kind of compare a little bit to Alexander Barkov, although I don't think Lundell is probably all that creative. He's more of a scorer and a two-way type. So, I mean, in that regard, I have Perfetti and Rossi there, but really, if you're picking five or six or seven, any need that you have will be addressed if that's what you want. I mean, of course, you could use the best player available, and teams, obviously, their definitions of best player available vary. But from a need standpoint, every position can be is represented in that, let's say, 4 to 11 range. So, you know, if you want a pure goal scorer, you got Perfetti, you got Holtz. You want a two-way type, you got Amirov, you got Lundell. You want a franchise goalie, you got Askarov. You want a Mitch Marner type, a playmaking winger who could also snipe it, you got Raymond. So it's a really top-heavy draft. I really think that I say this every year, but it's actually a good year to be bad. It's a good year to have that top 10 pick. I really can't. There are some guys that are predicting in that top 10, like Seth Jarvis and Jack Quinn, who a lot of people are very high on. They might be considered to be in that elite group of forwards. So it's actually pretty deep. It's a pretty deep upper half. And I would say once you go out of that top three, though, no one really knows how it's going to go.
And obviously, kind of spinning off your last answer, so the Sabres have the 7th overall pick. Let's say that they're picking anywhere between 7 and 10. Obviously, 10 is the worst-case scenario because you're having all three of the teams that, you know, made the qualifying round, got that chance to play. That's something I want to ask you about in a little bit, too. But what happens if the Sabres end up in that range of 7 to 10? They need a second-line center. That is their most pressing need behind Jack Eichel. They had it in Ryan O'Reilly. They traded him. They tried to have Casey Mittelstadt fill that role. Didn't work out so much, and maybe it will work out down the road, but obviously not right now. But they need a second-line center. Are you looking, maybe if you're the Sabres, to trade that pick, or would you hold on, draft one of these top guys in the top 10, and take that opportunity to develop that guy and see if he works out in the next couple of years?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider. Number one, they drafted that second-line center type last year in Dylan Cousins, and he could play wing as well, and he checks a lot of blocks. He's that enthusiastic, tough Western Canadian. Well, he's not from Western Canada, but he's from the Northwest Territories, but that he played in the WHL, so he's exactly the kind of guy you want. He's like a Ryan O'Reilly type. The problem is that he's young, so you got to wait to see what he develops into. The other issue is that they didn't hit a home run with Alex Nylander. They ended up trading him, and he was a first-round pick, a high top-10 pick in 2016. And the Casey Mittelstadt thing, we still don't know. I think we might have to wait another year or two to see what he develops into, but he's clearly not ready to take over that role yet. So how do the Sabres view this draft? Remember, they got a whole new staff. So are they viewing this through the lens of, let's draft the big home run, we're picking at number 7 or 8, do they draft the need? I know goaltending, they have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's a great, great goaltending prospect. but it wouldn't hurt if you maybe had a little bit of competition to that and added a guy like Askarov. But then again, they need speed on the wings. They need they need finishers. So a guy like Raymond or Holtz would fit into that. Whereas Perfetti, I think Perfetti's a little bit more like Casey Mittelstadt in terms of his style. Like, he's not a super explosive skater, but he's more of a elite playmaker and has that wicked shot. So I could see that being a fit. But, you know, Marco Rossi, he's smaller, but he's a two-way type as well. He's got brilliant hockey sense. So I would not really go about it from a need standpoint. But then again, the Sabres, you know, their prospect pool, I'd say it leans more heavily towards the defensive side, where you got Lukanen, you got Ryan Johnson, you got Matias Samuelsson, you got Jacob Bryson. So maybe start, you know, this is a long-term process. Start beefing up on the wings, or maybe try to make up for the mistakes made with Alex Nylander. And if you want to call Mittelstadt a mistake, you know, you could look at it from that way as well.
So, Steve, obviously, I know you haven't done your final mock draft, but let's say the Sabres are picking seventh and everything kind of stayed the same. All the picks are where they are, and Sabres pick seventh overall, and they select...
I would take Alexander Holtz. I just think he's the perfect complement to a guy like Jack Eichel. I know that you guys need that second-line center, but you already got the guy like Cousins in it. With Holtz, he's a low-maintenance sniper. He's got the best shot release and accuracy of anyone in that top 10, and he played in the Elite League in Sweden for two straight years now. So if you watch him play with Ugarden, he's just a low-maintenance sniper. It's exactly what you want. He knows how to get open. His stick is always at the ready. And so if you look at all the really good Swedish forwards out of this year's crop, and there are a lot of them, pound for pound, he had the best year. I think he had the third or fourth highest under-18 scoring average in the Swedish Elite League history, and two of the guys ahead of him were Peter Forsberg and Marcus Naslund. So Jeff Skinner, we know he's going to be there for quite a while. He didn't have the kind of year we expected him to have, and of course you got Victor Olofsson as a lefty, but that right shot sniper is something the Sabres could use. And I do think he'll be a best player available type at that slot.
And last thing I want to ask you, Steve, is just your thoughts overall on this draft lottery format. Do you think that it's a good format? Do you think that it should only be the seven teams? And also on top of that, what are your thoughts about the 2014 playoff format coming up here moving forward? And if you think that it's actually going to be able to get done?
Well, I love the playoff format because I'm a hockey fan, and anytime you add more teams to the playoffs, I'm all about that. And I'm an old school guy, but anytime you add extra teams to the playoffs, we always complain about it with baseball, and now we're glued to the TV sets every time you get a wild card playing game or what have you. So I support that. As far as this phase one, phase two stuff with the lottery, it's really just to attract attention. The NHL needs to kind of capitalize on the lull that there are no other leagues playing right now. So what I think they're trying to do is have two possible big time prime time events. One being the phase one lottery. If you have a playing team win one of those slots, oh, look at that. You have another excuse to have hundreds of thousands of hockey fans glued to their TV sets. The NHL needs to make money. They lost a lot of money because of the COVID-19 issue. So I really feel that it's not necessary to make people wait again for another lottery. They should have just waited for the play-in rounds to end and have a regular, typical lottery. But, you know, this is why they have marketing types. And from a TV ad revenue standpoint, gaining new fans, this might work out for them. So, look, we're talking about it, so clearly it's working.
Steve, I want to take the time to thank you for joining me here this evening. Appreciate your input, as always. Hope you and your family are safe and well during these times, and really hopefully we get the chance to see some hockey and talk again sometime soon about actually – hockey being played on the ice and all that. So thanks again for taking the time, and be safe.
Yeah, thanks, Brayden. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.